Now let's bless the word. Father, as we open your word, may we pray that we hear what you have for us to hear, and that, Lord, as we go through these plagues, that you would speak to us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. We are in chapter 9. We have discussed the plagues of, or the judgments, whichever way you want to look at it. It's a little bit of both, of the water, the frogs, the lice, and the flies. And as we go through these, each one is progressively worse, but not just that. They begin to angle from situations or things that affect life to now affecting life in a direct, you know, where the water affected that they had to go out and dig wells because the Nile was blood. And the things, the flies and the frogs and the things that got into their food and into their house, it made life uncomfortable. But now we're going to get into where it begins to, tonight, really aim at the physical health of the people. And so we're going to start in verse 9. The fifth one is aimed at livestock. And this is a big deal for Egyptians, because livestock was a big part of their life, not just because some of it was food, but because they worshiped so much of it. And we're going to, as we have through these first four, this fifth one is also aimed at an Egyptian god, and I can't pronounce it, but it's Ptah is the actual god. It's a male god. He's a god of fertility, and he is represented as a bull. And then there is actually also a goddess, Hathor, a goddess of the sky that's symbolized in the form of a cow. Now, that just doesn't seem very, very good for me, but hey, she's a cow. You just really wouldn't want to say that nowadays. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go in to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence.'" So here we have, again, as we've looked through these plagues and judgments to this point, it goes from in the palace, go into Pharaoh here. This one's back at the palace. Some have been at the river, and so they're different locations. Some have had the warning, some have not. This one does have the warning where he says, let my people go, or else if you refuse, this is what's going to happen. So he gives them, he gives Pharaoh the warning of what's going to happen if you refuse me. And this time it's aimed at those cattle and horses and other, at this point, domestic animals. Camels were domesticated at this point, and they were used a lot just like any other, and like a horse would be somewhat. And so, but it says here, the cattle in the field. And so it's very important, because later on in one of the plagues, there's going to be more cattle. And so if all the cattle were killed in this plague, how would there be cattle later on? And I believe it's the seventh plague. But, you know, where the hail comes, it kills the cattle that are out in the field. Well, here it says the cattle in the field. So if the cattle were in barns or in stalls or something like that, they would survive. That answers, well, where were the cattle? Where did the cattle come from later on? And so this was the cattle that were just out in the field grazing, the horses, the camels, donkeys, oxen, and sheep. They were going to be affected by this pestilence that God is going to send if Pharaoh doesn't listen. And again, you would think that of everything he's seen to this point, as bad as it has gotten to this point, that as he hears, it's going to affect your cattle. You would think that he would say, okay, everything else this man has said has happened. This is my cattle. This is our worship to the gods that are symbols of bulls and cows, that's what we worship. That is very sacred to us. And here he's being told that they are going to be affected by this severe pestilence. And in 4 it says, "And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel." Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, "Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land." And so again, he has told him what's going to happen. He has told him there's a time between now and the judgment that's coming tomorrow. And not only that, there is going to be a difference that you are going to be able to see, that it's not going to happen to the children of the Lord. So he's beginning in the last one, he separated and showed a difference where there were no flies in the land of Goshen, and now no cattle in the land of Goshen, no horses, they're not going to be affected. Any of the livestock in the land of Goshen that belong to the children of Israel, they're not going to be affected either. And so he's again showing his power. He's showing his protection. He's showing his judgment all at the same time. And Pharaoh is given, again, 24 hours till tomorrow. This is when it's going to happen. In 6, it says, "So the Lord did this thing on the next day." So obviously, the response of Pharaoh was the same. And we know that the scripture will tell us that his heart was hardened, and we understand that as best we can, but sometimes it's hard for me to understand when it seems so cut and dry what's going to happen to you that you choose to do this. And that's what Pharaoh does. And it seems really tough for us to say, well, how could his heart be so hard to see what's coming, and not just to, well, I can deal with it. Because as Pharaoh, you know, if we have less cattle, it's not going to affect him. He's still going to get all the food he wants. And if they're not able to worship that God, then who are they going to turn to worship? They're going to turn to worship Pharaoh. So Pharaoh makes his choices based on selfishness, I believe. He's going to harden his heart. We know that. That's what the Bible tells us, and that's what happens. And so God goes ahead and says, on the next day, all the livestock of Egypt died. And of course, that's out in the field. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. Pharaoh sent somebody out to the land of Goshen to check. You know, because here he is in his palace. And obviously when they said, you know, there's no flies in the land of Goshen, I'm sure it doesn't tell us that he sent somebody go check to see if there's any flies. And you can't do that. You can't go out to see that there's no flies in the land of Goshen. But if every cow and every horse and every sheep and every donkey in Egypt is dead, you can check that out by going to the land of Goshen and not finding one dead animal. And so he sends somebody out to check, which, since it was never mentioned before and probably would have been hard to do, he has come to a point, it's like, I'm going to check this out. And so you'd think, okay, if he's going to check it out, he's somewhat concerned about something. And so he sends somebody, it says, and he sent, and indeed every, you know, not one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. So if he's concerned enough to check, why does the next verse happen? His heart was still hardened. He's got things rolling up here, but not down here. And unfortunately, that's the problem today. There are people that do a lot of thinking about, well, is God's hand really moving? But when it comes down to their heart's not connected to their head. And that's where Pharaoh was at. He's concerned, he's thinking about the cattle in the land of Goshen versus the cattle in Egypt. And he's thinking about, I was told yesterday that this was going to happen. And now I can't wrap my mind around how that can happen. And so he's going to send somebody. He's thinking about all the things that God is doing. But it doesn't change his heart. People today will say, man, I know God is doing all these things. I hear people talk about it. I hear testimony about how God is moving, how God is doing this. And man, it's so exciting, but it never gets to the heart. You've heard that 18 inches is the longest distance to ever cross that expanse, and that's from the head to the heart. And that's where Pharaoh's problem was. But that's where the problem is today. We know and we hear and we read and we understand, but when it comes to applying it to our heart, we never get past that. That's where so many are today. And so but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. The sixth one, the boils. Again, the cattle, it became, you know, it was affecting life. All that they worshipped was dying. And so now you have the boils. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace. Now, this wasn't just a normal furnace. This furnace was it was a limestone furnace, basically where they would make the bricks. Remember, the children of Israel would have to make the bricks? The oppressors would make the Hebrews use this furnace to make their brick. Well, the ashes out of that furnace, they would take and they would make medicine out of it. And they would put the ashes and make this cream out of it, and it wouldn't really cleanse them, but it's like, have you ever heard of somebody using charcoal to brush their teeth? Have you ever heard of that? It kind of sounds disgusting, but they say it will really clean, okay, because of the charcoal in there. Well, that same thought is they would take and make a soap out of these ashes, and it would clean them. That's what the Egyptians would do. And so now what God has done, He's taking the thing that the Egyptians used to clean themselves, and Moses and Aaron are taking handfuls of these ashes and throwing them up in the air, and the same thing that they thought would clean them is now causing them boils. So as we look at this, these ashes are being thrown up in the air, and right in the sight of Pharaoh, he sees it. And they throw them up in the air, and it scatters towards the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become a fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beasts throughout the land of Egypt. So this is causing boils not just on, now it's not just the animals that are affected, the beasts that are affected. This is on everything. So the cattle, they generally would not eat because that was a sacred animal. Now they might eat it after a sacrifice, but the animals that they would go out and hunt, those beasts, that they would consider beasts, not the domesticated animals, those are the ones that are affected now. So their livelihood and going out and hunting some animal, that wild animal now has boils on it. And the people themselves even had boils on them. And so as I studied this, it says that these boils, because this was the god of fertility, the theologians and stories that were passed down said that a lot of this affected their fertility. So it was basically on their private parts is where the boils broke out. And so it was something that, and everything that God did, it was attacking what their beliefs were. This was a a god that was represented by a bull who represented fertility, and God takes the things, like I said, the dust that they thought was good, and uses it to bring about the things that took away their fertility for a time, and their worship, it affected them where they thought they were the strongest. And so, excuse me, and this one, the sixth one, the boils, it tells us there's no warning. The Lord just says to go and do it because Pharaoh had hardened his heart. And so the boils come on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took the ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them towards the heavens, and they caused the boils to break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. So here you have, and this is key, because the Egyptians originally, they could duplicate, or they were duplicating, or at least appearing to duplicate through basically Satan worship is what I would call it. But they were able to duplicate the things that God was doing. And then they got to a point of not being able to duplicate what God was doing. And they acknowledged that this is a finger of God. And now it's beginning to affect them. Okay? So they went from, hey, we can duplicate this, to we're not sure about this, to, hey, this is affecting us. But even though we're at this point, it's clear back to the third plague or the third judgment, when they could not take it away and they couldn't duplicate it. But yet here we are at the sixth, and they're still in Pharaoh's court. Why would he keep somebody around that proved they couldn't do anything and actually spoke and said, you know, this is the finger of some power higher than us? Why would Pharaoh keep them around when they were not able to do what he kept asking them to do? Because the people saw these magicians as powerful people. They were looked up to. They were seers. They had all of this power in the mind and the thoughts of the Egyptian people. And so if Pharaoh got rid of them, what about those people that were willing to follow the magicians? Pharaoh would lose those people. Not only that, he keeps them around so that he has them as his part of his court. And now they're affected so much that they can't even come and stand in the presence of Pharaoh because they're affected. It goes on and it says that it affects the magicians and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord spoken to Moses. So if we go back up in 7, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. The heart of Pharaoh became hard. So it's the understanding in Hebrew that he did it himself. Then we get down here in 12, it says, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. When we begin to turn, and Pharaoh, this is not the beginning, this is not the first time this has happened, but we have to understand that when we harden our heart, God is going to turn us over to that hard heart and allow it to be hardened more so. And so God, it says here, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so in that sixth plague, it switched over to where instead of affecting land and flies and bugs and cattle, it's on us. And it's affecting all the Egyptians. The boils are on all the Egyptians. It's on the wild beasts as well, but it's on the people now, and even the strongest of people. And so that should be enough. And then in 13, we come to number 7. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Well, where did Pharaoh always go in the morning? He went out to the water. And so this one takes place, they believe, back at the Nile River. Because he doesn't say go in. He says, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. So again, we come back. We're back at the river. He gives him the warning. Again, says, let my people go that they may serve me. And he uses the, in that sentence, he says, and I will send all my plagues. So God is taking and letting Pharaoh know, all of these things that have happened have been from me. They are my plagues. And it's not Moses, it's capitalized my, and that's the Lord God has sent these plagues, and they're going to be on your people so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. We're seven plagues in, and I don't think it should have took seven. I mean, we wouldn't think so, but it happens so that people would know that He is the Lord God and there is none like Him in all the earth. Sometimes we as Christians, we see something happen. We understand God allows something to happen and we don't understand why. We don't question it, we just don't understand it. And maybe sometimes we do even question it. But God allows it to happen and it puts us in a situation maybe between that rock and that hard spot like we talked about a couple weeks ago, but it brings us to that point and we don't understand why it happens because we're not looking at this the way they didn't. When God says, this is going to happen so that you may know there is none like me. When we are put in that situation, Pharaoh did not see it. I'm sure at this point, probably the magicians are beginning to see it. We don't see it, or if we do, we may not understand. But how long has it been since we've just said, man, there is nobody like my God? We know that. We believe that. We understand that. But these things are happening for that purpose. How many things happen in our life for that purpose? And we don't give God the glory of acknowledging that purpose. And so as he says, these are my plagues and this is why it happened. In 15 he says, now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. God is basically saying, I could have killed every one of you right now. If I wanted to, I could have struck you all down with pestilence and cut you off from the earth. But I didn't. That's grace. We see what happens to us, and maybe we question it, maybe we don't understand. And those that don't know God, something happens, and sometimes even Christians get upset. That's part of our makeup. We get upset and we don't understand why God allowed this to happen. Why did this person be taken from our life? Or why did this situation happen? And we get frustrated. And as we look at this, we always look at how bad this is instead of how bad it could have been. God says, you need to understand, I could have done this. But for the grace of God, He didn't. He could have just said, hey, I want my children free, so I'm going to kill all the Egyptians, and then my people can just walk out with anything they want. He could have, but he didn't, because he wanted even those people that did not worship him to know there was no one like him. God wants even those people that are not going to accept him to know there's no one like him. And the only way that's going to happen, not the only way, but one of the ways that that's going to happen is for us to testify that there is no one like our God. And when we're in that situation and we're sitting at a table and something has happened that seems to be just life-altering, and you and I acknowledge the fact that it could have been so much worse. At least I had this amount of time. God has a reason. When we begin to acknowledge those things before people that do not understand, then that shows even those people that don't believe in God that there's no one like Him. So he says he could have struck out his hand and cut them off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. There is a purpose. And even though Pharaoh's heart was hardened, God used that for his purpose. Even though that thing that happened in my life that I hated, that I didn't understand, God wants to use it for his purpose, that He would show His power in us and His name would be declared in all the earth. As yet, verse 17, as yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow at this time, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. So again, he's got a warning. He tells him, about this time tomorrow, you got a grace period. I'm giving you a chance, one, to basically repent. Two, is you can even go out and gather your livestock and bring them in so that they don't die. Because there's going to be hail like you've never seen before come down out of the heavens, and it's going to kill every man and every animal that's out in the field. But you have a chance to bring them home or they'll die. And I'm just going to stop here and just share the thought that just ran through my mind. And this is 5 seconds old. God has given us a grace period to say, go out and gather everybody home you can, because hail's coming. Because if they're left out in the field, they're going to die. I've studied this for I don't know how many times and how long, the last couple week and a half. That thought's never crossed my mind. Because I always put it off on the Egyptians. Hey, go get your cattle and bring them in. And just as I'm standing here, God says, why don't you go out and get them and bring them in? It's either you go get them or they stay out there and die. That hurts. But that's the truth. Verse 20. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his, livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord, left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now, where it says servants, we understand that, that's not talking about a slave. That's not talking about, you know, like we would think of as a household servant. This is talking about the Egyptian people, because really they were all Pharaoh's servants. And so that's really what it's talking about. So you could actually read it, you know, any of the servants of any of the Egyptians made his servants, those that were actually servants, go out and get the livestock and bring them in. And any of the Egyptians that did not regard the Lord, they just left their livestock out in the field. So now we are beginning to have people, even Egyptians, that are beginning to alter what they're doing because God has moved around them. God's moving has affected them. And so now these Egyptians are beginning to fear the word of the Lord. They are hearing what Moses is saying. There are Egyptians that are hearing what God's people are saying, and they are taking it to heart, and they're doing something about it. There are people out there that are going to hear the word of God from you, and they're going to take it to heart, and they're going to do something about it. But then in the next verse, there are people out there that are going to hear the word of God from you, and it's not going to change a single thing they do. But that does not excuse you or me from going out there and telling them what God is saying. So you've got both here. You've got some Egyptians that are beginning to fear the word of the Lord. And maybe it's just because they have seen the power of God's hand. Maybe it's because they've seen the protection of God's hand on the land of Goshen. Maybe it's because God has given them a grace period and He's told them there is an end when the judgment, when the hail is coming. But for whatever reason, they listened and it altered their life, and their cattle were saved and their servants that were in the house were saved. But there's still going to be those that don't regard the word of the Lord, and they're going to die. And their livestock is going to die. 22, it says, Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out the rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire, darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. I'm wondering, because here Pharaoh is, he's I'm sure in his palace. The storm comes in, and they'd had storms before, just nothing like this. But they were told yesterday that this is going to happen. And then the dark clouds roll in, and the thunder starts, and the lightning flashes, and the hail comes, and I'm wondering what they're thinking right then. The same thing that those people who hear about the Word of God and about what's going to happen at the end, when the church is raptured, there are going to be people that are just going to believe it's aliens or whatever, but there are going to be people that are going to realize everything God said happened. And they're going to see the clouds. They're going to feel that that second half of the tribulation. It's going to come. All of those things. But imagine how those Egyptians who feared the word of the Lord would feel. and my cattle are safe. Verse 27 says, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. This time? So that's saying all those other times really don't count. I wasn't really wrong all those other times. It says, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Man, if he only meant that. Again, up here he knew what to say. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail. For it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. How could you not fear the Lord at that point? But he had been turned over to a hardened heart. Romans chapter 1 says God turns a man over to the heart he desires. God is not going to force himself on people. He tells us that. He's going to turn him over to his heart. And it's so clear now, not just that God knows, but Moses knows. People can see. You're all talk. In 31 it says, now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in head and the flax was in bud. So basically it's that understanding that the crops that were in the field, the flax and the barley, they were ready, close to harvest, and they were destroyed by the hail. But the wheat and the spelt, or rye, spelt is what we would consider rye, but the wheat and the rye were not struck, for they are late crops. So God destroyed basically half of what they lived on. God's timing is perfect. His grace allowed that the wheat and rye were not destroyed because they hadn't come up yet. Even though Pharaoh and the Egyptians were beginning to understand, but not all of them, because some still didn't regard the word of the Lord. And Pharaoh and his servants and even his magicians, though they knew it was the hand of a mightier God, they were still not ready to worship God. And even though Pharaoh said, God is righteous and we're wicked, they still were given grace. Because the same way God could have destroyed all the people with the pestilence, he could have destroyed all the crops, even the upcoming crops, the later crops, God could have destroyed. But he didn't. He's still a God of grace. 33 said, so Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, and he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So now it's not just the heart of Pharaoh that's hard. Did you notice that? It says that he sinned yet more and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's hard heart is now wearing off on other Egyptians. There are some that are recognizing God's power, and they brought their cattle in. But there are others that are so devoted to that way of life under Pharaoh that they are beginning to, well, Pharaoh hardened his heart, I'm going to follow him. And it says even his other servants or Egyptians, other Egyptians were beginning to harden their heart. So it's coming to a point to where they're having to make a choice. Are you going to harden your heart, or are you going to regard the word of the Lord? And that's ultimately what it comes down to. And so as we see these plagues that we looked over tonight, the livestock diseased and the boils and the hail, God begins to make things personal. Those first four, and even the fifth one, they affected things that weren't really physically touching the people, physically affecting the people, but now these have begun to hit home. And the choice has to be made by individuals, Pharaoh being the main one, but God is even giving the opportunity as warning the servants or the Egyptians, hey, get your cattle out of the field. God is giving choices. What are you going to do? And it says that many of them begin to harden their heart because they were set on the lifestyle that they had always lived and they weren't going to change it. So that'll get us up and we'll be ready for the eighth one next week. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, as we look at your word tonight, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, help us to understand the things you have for us, to always see your grace and mercy. But Lord, to truly see those in the field that don't know the hail's coming, don't believe the hail's coming, for whatever reason, they're staying out there. Lord, if we care, may we bring them out of the field. In your name we pray. Amen.